University, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And well, today we have a fascinating guest, and I think you'll be really very interested in what he's going to tell you. His name is Dr. George Fletcher, and he's a family practitioner who's been studying the effect of iodine and the fact that, really, we used to have iodine in our bread, we used to have iodine in our milk, we used to have iodine in all of our salt. And then, some time ago, without the knowledge of most physicians, why, they removed the milk from the iodine from the milk and the bread, and from about half of the table salt that you're going to be buying. And we see a progressive increase in the incidence of fibrocystic breast disease and breast carcinoma, and of course we see all sorts of other diseases. But I'm going to let Dr. Fletcher tell you this amazing story that certainly changed my outlook. I've checked this out with several other very competent physicians and advisors, and everything he tells you is gospel truth. So, Dr. George Fletcher, thank you so much for being with us again.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right, so why don't you tell us how you got involved in this and what you've learned?
Well, back in the 1990s, we were looking at trace minerals and what diseases show up when you don't have enough certain trace minerals. And one of them that we looked at was iodine. And the iodine is used traditionally by the human thyroid to make thyroid hormone. And in this particular study that was published in the Journal for the American Medical Association, they found that iodine that the absence of iodine was associated with an increase in fibrocystic breast disease. Now, that's a problem where there's a lot of cysts, nodules, and scar tissue in the breast, and especially in and it hits, in the United States, it hits about 84% of the women in the United States. Now, what's interesting is that we were not aware of the relationship between iodine and breast tissue. We were aware of the lack of iodine causing problems with low thyroid disease in humans, but what we were not aware of was the relationship between the absence of iodine in breast. As time progressed, we were able to start by doing different studies. We were able to see that there were relationships present, such as if you take away iodine from the thyroid, you get problems with cyst, nodules, scar tissue, and enlargement. And traditionally, we call that goiter. If you take away iodine from the breast has an enzyme in it called lactoperoxidase. Lactoperoxidase has the ability to attach iodine to different tissues. And, in fact, lactoperoxidase is found in just about all the tissues of the body.
All right, I'm going to ask you just to hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment here. We have some other stations. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Dr. George Fletcher, and we're talking about iodine. And for those of you out there listening, audience, most people don't think too much about iodine. People think about it in case of a nuclear attack, or they think about it in reference to goiter. But we always assume we must be getting plenty of iodine if we don't have a goiter. And Dr. Fletcher has been on the cutting edge of evaluating what's going on. In fact, he's part of a small group of doctors who are really studying this, and we've had several others on. In fact, there is going to be a big meeting sometime in the next week or two where the doctors who are studying this are getting together. But, of course, iodine is not only important as far as the thyroid. It's important as far as the breast and as far as the ovaries and as far as so many other functions of the human body. And the average American, is deficient in iodine. So you go ahead and pick the story up, Dr. Fletcher.
What we discovered was that the breast tissue has an enzyme called lactoperoxidase, which has the ability to attach iodine to breast tissue, and it's the absence of iodine in that tissue that's felt to be the source of cysts in the breast, nodules in the breast, scar tissue, cyclic breast pain just before the periods, and so on. And we found the same thing is true in the ovary. In fact, the human ovary is second to the thyroid as far as its ability to concentrate iodine. And the absence of iodine in the ovary gives you cyst, nodules, scar tissue. At its worst, we call it polycystic ovarian disease, and so on. Now, it's interesting that if you go back in American history about 100 years ago, up in the northeast area around the Great Lakes region, that like in Akron, Ohio, 56% of the people in Akron had problems with goiter. And this could be said true for many of the cities in Michigan and Illinois and so on. So we're talking about places like Milwaukee, Chicago, Buffalo, Akron, etc. Now, what we did in studies that were done back then showed that people who had goiter had a much higher incidence of breast cancer, a much higher incidence of esophageal cancer, stomach cancer, ovarian cancer, and cancer of the endometrium, the lining of the uterus. And as time has progressed, we've now been able to see that these cancers that are showing up in these tissues are directly related to the absence of iodine. Now, it's interesting that if you look at somebody who has a goiter patients have a higher incidence of thyroid cancer.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Dr. George Fletcher, and he was simply pointing out that in the days where we had a lot of people with goiters, we had a higher incidence of thyroid cancer and breast cancer and esophageal cancer and other cancers in the people who had a thyroid deficiency as manifested by goiter. And, of course, the relationship between, say, polycystic ovarian disease and, of course, the low iodine and the fibrocystic breast disease, which is so common in women and shortages of iodine. So you pick the story up there.
Well, back in July 22 of 2005 in the New England Journal of Medicine, they published that women who had benign breast changes, which is now the new term for fibrocystic breast disease, that women with benign breast changes had a higher rate of breast cancer. We've known for years that women who had problems with polycystic ovaries have a much higher problem with ovarian cancer by the time they get into their 40s and 50s. In fact, many gynecologists recommend that women who suffer with chronic polycystic ovarian syndrome, or PCOS, need to have their ovaries removed by the time their 40s and 50s come around because of that increased risk for development of cancer. Another thing that we've discovered is that iodine is crucial towards normal function of the skin. The sweat glands of the body are very iodine dependent, and without iodine, the sweat glands don't function, and they have problems with very dry skin. And in fact, these people also complain about not being able to sweat when they get hot. And I've seen multiple patients who have come in and told me about not being able to sweat. And as a family practice doctor, I wasn't aware of the relationship. Now that I am, we're able to intervene early and take care of these patients. But many a patient that's come down with cancer, one of the things I've asked them about is, you know, before they developed the cancer, had they had problems with not being able to sweat? And the answer was yes. You know, they haven't been able to, especially with people that live here in the South where we get these 98% humidity with the heat of index of 90 to 100. And these patients will tell you that even though they get outside and work, they don't sweat. Of interest is that as physicians work with patients, that they, you know, as patients get older, they have problems with hypertension. And it's interesting that one of the first things doctors tell patients to stop doing is to stop eating salt because the salt pushes their hypertension problem. But if you look at it, we took the iodine out of the bread, we took the iodine out of the milk. About 50% of women cook with iodized salt, the other 50% don't. And when you take away the salt that people have, our elderly population, and I'm going to say people above age 60, have problems with a lack of iodine due to the fact that they're eating much less salt. And in fact, if you look at it, approximately one-fourth to one-third of everyone above age 60 who becomes senile, they become senile due to the lack of thyroid hormone. And it's crucial that the thyroid needs iodine in order to make that thyroid hormone. You were mentioning nuclear attacks and so on, but one thing we've discovered is that in Japan, we've dropped two nuclear bombs on these people, and their land is loaded with radioactive material. And yet the Japanese eat seaweed about three times a day, plus in their snacks and so on. And the seaweed contains lots of iodine. That, in turn, is helping the Japanese to have some of the lowest rates of breast cancer, gynecological cancers, different types of cancers throughout the world. And if you go to, and just because they eat the iodine. Now, if you go to a place like Chernobyl in the Ukraine, in Chernobyl, there was a massive radiation leak. There's still a lot of radiation in the area, and the rate of cancer is just astronomical for the Russians, Ukrainians that are living in the area. But the Russian government has not stepped in and tried to help these people by making them all take iodine.
One of the things I've really learned from Dr. Fletcher is that the Japanese, eat about 12.5 milligrams of iodine a day. We eat about 12.5 micrograms. What do they have, about 100 times the amount of iodine we do in Japan?
That's right. That's right. So the Japanese are eating about 100 times more iodine than we do. And we've discovered that if you have a lack of iodine, like in early pregnancy, that the absence of iodine in early pregnancy produces children who have problems with attention deficit disorder. Now, that was just published like 2 years ago in the some of the endocrine journals. And so it's the absence of iodine in early pregnancy, not later pregnancy. I mean, you can have a woman who has normal thyroid hormones or a baby with normal thyroid hormones at the end of a pregnancy, but the influence of iodine on the pregnancy will increase a baby's IQ. So the human IQ is heavily influenced by the presence of iodine, and you can make produce a human being that has an IQ increase of at least 15 points by just providing the baby iodine throughout the pregnancy and for the first 2 years after the pregnancy, and that will produce very intelligent children, but the absence produces ADD.
Well, what about, of course, now, so often they're not only taking the iodine out, but they're giving them fluoride, which competes, for the position in the thyroid gland. So what happens when you deprive them of iodine and give them fluoride?
Yeah, the Chinese did us a favor by doing a study on Chinamen who had very low iodine intakes in their diet, and so they were kind of marginal. And they took and introduced fluoridated water into the communities where this was present. And what ended up happening was that the Chinese documented an increase in children who had problems with cretinism. Another word for that is just that these children were turning out as imbeciles and mentally retarded in the presence of taking fluoridated water in a community where there was very little iodine. Now think about it. In the United States, we're subtracting a tremendous amount of iodine in the American dietary, and then we're taking and putting in water with fluoride. In fact, go down to your local Walmart, and you can see that they sell distilled water. But if you'll look right to the left or right of that, you'll see that they have, quote, distilled water with fluoride to sell for the children in the population. And you know, the introduction of fluoride in a marginally deficient area where there's very little iodine will produce children whose mental IQ will be much less than what it would be otherwise.
And then we wonder why our children, when they graduate from high school, cannot compete effectively with children from Lithuania and Latvia and other areas, you know, where, and you have to ask yourself why. Why are our kids, children not really as smart as the children from other countries academically when they graduate from high school?
You got it. And it becomes a real problem. And so we've had to try to educate our parents to start producing, you know, to try to introduce iodine early into a child's environment to help develop the baby's IQ.
You know, when I was growing up, they always used to refer to fish, which contains iodine, as brain food. And, of course, working in Catholic hospitals, every Friday you had to have fish. They didn't have meat. Everybody had to have fish. And everybody knew it was good for you. And then, well, we've sort of got away from all of that.
That's true. The other problem is that back in about the 1960s and 70s, we took away the iodine out of the American diet, such as in the bread, but we introduced another ominous product, and that's called bromide. And bromide, the body can substitute bromide in place of iodide and produce some strange things in our bodies, such as if you start introducing a lot of bromide into the thyroid tissue, you can come up with an increased risk of development of breast cancer and thyroid cancer and other types of cancers just because of the introduction of bromide. Now, the other problem is that if you look at the sodas that are being drank, here in the South, one of the sodas that is very common is that of Mountain Dew. And you'll find on the side of the Mountain Dew bottle, it says brominated vegetable oil. And they've been at, and here in the South, we have, like my son went to the local high school, and when I went over there to the, and visited him in the Commons area, I saw that out of 12 vending machines that were selling soda drinks, 10 out of the 12 were all selling Mountain Dew. And it turns out that the Mountain Dew with the brominated vegetable oil, an average for all males in the South here about by age 8 to about age 15, they're drinking about 5 of these a day. And the bromide is causing problems with abdominal pain, problems with bad breath, problems with cardiac arrhythmias, and giving them problems with acute paranoid psychosis. In fact, we used to, before Alka-Seltzer, we had a product on the American diet and the American pharmaceutical that was called Bromo-Seltzer. And Bromo-Seltzer between 1920 and 1960 was responsible for at least 20% of all acute paranoid schizophrenia admissions to American psychiatric hospitals. So that this bromide that's being put into the bread, bromide being put into the soft drinks and so on, is not benign material. This stuff can potentially affect the function of the human brain.
And of course, you have to ask yourself, why did they take the iodine out and put in the bromide?
That's right.
Iodine that's good for the brain, bromide that's bad, and can't actually produce a frank psychosis. We'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. George Fletcher talking about this subject, which I think each one of you must look into and find out if it's true. I'm convinced it is. Well, Dr. Fletcher, you go right ahead there.
Well, we have discovered that with the use of iodine, now, iodine was first brought into the forefront by Napoleon's scientist who discovered bromide in seaweed. I'm sorry, who discovered iodine in seaweed. And and iodine was actually one of the first pharmaceutical drugs that was successfully used in the treatment of a major illness. And that is the use treatment of goiter. By right now in the United States, the average American is eating about 138 micrograms of iodine per day. But back in the days of back 100 years ago, here in the Northeast, they were giving somewhere between 50 to 150 milligrams of iodine in order to get rid of goiter. Now, there's a lot of doctors out there who think that if you give people iodine, they're treating it as if the stuff was a poison. And what doctors don't recognize is that if they went back and looked at medical history, they would find that iodine was one of the first successful pharmaceutical minerals that we were able to use to treat a major illness. Now, you'll think about the 1800s. Back during that time period, if a person came down with syphilis or if they came down with gonorrhea or something, they would be given strychnine. They'd be given mercury. They'd be given all sorts of poisonous materials to get rid of their infectious illnesses and so on. But one of the most successful ventures in the field of pharmaceutical was the treatment of goiters with the use of iodine. Well, today we find that iodine not only helps to shrink goiters, and we're talking about 50 to 150 milligrams a day, but if you put a woman on iodine for fibrocystic breast disease, that within just a matter of a few days to a few weeks, her breast pain is totally gone, and it will stay away as long as she's taking iodine. If she comes off the iodine, the breast pain will come back within a few weeks. But we have discovered that if you take a woman with fibrocystic breast disease with lots of recurrent cysts and scar tissue and painful tissues, and you put them on about 50 milligrams of iodine a day, that within a period of about three years, that they can have a 50 to a 90% reduction in the presence of fibrocystic disease in the breast tissue. So just as giving iodine got rid of goiters and can help to get rid of those, giving iodine helps to get rid of fibrocystic breast disease. Now, it turns out that women who have problems with recurrent cysts in the ovaries, you give them iodine and within a few months their cysts in the ovaries start disappearing. It's interesting that women who have polycystic ovarian syndrome or PCOS, these women have periods maybe once every 9 months to a year, because the ovaries are just not functioning like they should. I want you to put a woman on 50 milligrams of iodine a day, I would dare say that probably 90-95% of these women will within 6 months start having periods. And in my medical practice, out of something like six patients who have polycystic ovaries where they have problems with infertility.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Fletcher is talking about how if you treat women with fibrocystic disease of the breast, it will get better, and long-term treatment will really do away with most of the disease. And certainly many women with polycystic disease have the ovary, of course, can't conceive, but if you put them on the iodine, and he was saying, what, you've had about six patients with polycystic ovaries?
Yeah, about six patients with polycystic ovaries started on 50 milligrams of iodine a day, and within a period of 6 months, they would start having periods every 28 days, right on schedule. And we also found out that the fertility rate went up. And so out of the six patients who have PCOS, four have gotten pregnant and have had children now. So that this problem with polycystic ovaries is a major problem of infertility in the United States. And it looks like iodine may be a thing that needs to be looked at very closely by the endocrine doctors as to a reason why infertility is on the rise here in the United States. The other problem that we have noticed is a problem of hormone resistance. We noticed that I had a lady that came in one time to the office, and she had an abnormally super high blood sugar of about 1,300. Usually that type of blood sugar will kill somebody. And we gave her some insulin and started treating her with insulin. 2 weeks later, she was seen in the office, and I said, you know, while you were hospitalized, I noticed that you had a lot of cysts and nodules and scar tissue in your breast tissue, and I said, we need to put you on some iodine to help you to get your breast into better health. And it was interesting that then I taught her how to use a glucometer and how to check her blood sugars 2 times a day. Well, she comes in a month later, and her average blood sugar for the whole month was something like 98. And I said, oh, you're doing so good with your diet. You're doing so good with your exercise program, doing so good with insulin. And she said, oh, didn't I tell you? I came off of insulin about 3 or 4 weeks ago because the insulin was giving me problems with hypoglycemia. And she said, even if I went down to 1 or 2 units of insulin, I still got that hypoglycemia. And I sat there and said, well, what do you think happened? And she said, soon after you started me on that iodine stuff, she said, I started experiencing episodes of hypoglycemia. And she said, it's got to be the iodine. So then we waited another month. She continued to keep taking iodine. And when she came back a month later, her average blood sugar was 92. Now, if you look at patients who have diabetes, 90% of diabetics have plenty of insulin. There's plenty of insulin in the body. What they have is what's called insulin-resistant diabetes. That is, the body doesn't recognize the presence of the insulin. Iodine helps to increase the recognition of the body to the presence of the insulin. And I can say that it's not just insulin. We can talk about, we can talk about thyroid hormone. We can talk about testosterone. We can talk about cortisone. We can talk about just about every major hormone in the body. Every receptor needs iodine in order to be able to function more efficiently. And so what we're finding is that a lot of diseases, and I see this quite often in the practice, where I have patients who come in and say, well, how long have you been on Synthroid or thyroid medication? And they'll say, oh, I've been on thyroid medication for the last 10 years, and it seems like every time I go in to see the doctor once a year to get my thyroid medication adjusted, that he keeps upping the dose of thyroid hormone in order to control my symptoms. And once they start taking iodine, there is a dramatic decrease in the total amount of thyroid hormone that's necessary to control their medications. In fact, I'm a vegetarian, and vegetarians, about 80% of them have problems with iodine deficiency. And I developed low thyroid disease many years ago, and once I learned all this about iodine, I started taking iodine, and within a year or two, I was able to come off all thyroid medication, and my total thyroid symptoms and thyroid system is controlled by just taking iodine. I no longer have to take thyroid hormone, and I just control everything with the use of iodine.
Well, there's a lot here that most people really are unaware of. We didn't realize that taking the iodine out of our bread and out of our milk and out of half of our salt, why would they have done something that foolish that would be so hazardous to our health? We'll be back here in just a moment or two with Dr. George Flesis as we explore iodine and really the body needs it. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I guess it's Dr. George Flesis, and I think it's important that people understand that in Japan, where they have high doses of iodine, they have much lower levels of fibrocystic breast disease, much lower levels of cancer of the breast, and many other cancers as well. In fact, they even have lower levels of heart disease there. What's the relationship of iodine to heart disease? Is there any relationship that we know of between iodine and heart disease?
As far as we know, if you have slight fluctuations in thyroid hormone helps to control lipid metabolism. And so if you don't have enough thyroid hormone, then your blood fats go up. And I recently saw a man that came into my practice who had a cholesterol level of over 900, and he was having problems with low thyroid disease. We put him on some thyroid hormone, and by the time he came into the next office visit, without treating him with any other medications, we found that his cholesterol levels had dropped almost 500 or 600 points. So it just kind of shows us some of the sensitivities of the human body to fluctuations in thyroid hormone. One thing that we've discovered too is that there's different types of iodine. There is iodine versus iodide. Iodide is the salt of the iodine, and we find that there are different tissues that can absorb different forms of iodine, such as the stomach prefers iodine, and in fact iodine can be transferred straight into the bloodstream at the level of the stomach, and the thyroid prefers iodide, the salt. It's interesting that breast tissue needs both. You need to have iodine and iodide in order to maintain normal, healthy breast. It's also interesting that brain tissue prefers iodide because iodide is used to is actively being pumped into the cerebrospinal fluid, and then the iodide inside your cerebrospinal fluid helps to increase the sensitivity of the neurotransmitters inside. Now that's interesting because we've had patients who started taking iodine combination, and what they found was that people who've had long-standing problems with depression, and once they started taking this iodine, they found that their mental spirits just improved. They were feeling better.
Hold that thought, right. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Fletcher has been talking about how people, they get onto iodine. It seems many times it influences their mood. Well, of course, it's beginning to have a direct effect on the brain. Your brain needs iodine, and of course, most Americans have a deficient diet. And as we pointed out, the Japanese consume about 12.5 milligrams of iodine every day. Here in America, 12.5 micrograms, about 1/100 as much as they have in Japan. Yet the Japanese are far healthier than we are. And of course, at one time we used to have much higher doses of iodine than we do today. So pick up the story there.
Well, what we found is that prostate tissue is very iodine dependent as not so much iodide. Of interest is that if you look at males here in North America, that if you as a male don't die from a heart attack, what you're going to end up dying from is prostate cancer. And of the men who develop prostate cancer, about 40% will have problems with metastatic prostate cancer. Now, one of the research studies that was looked at in the Japanese population showed that in Japan, men hardly ever die of prostate cancer. And it's felt that it's the iodine, and this was research that was done at the Mayo Clinic, but it was research done there showing that iodine is what keeps cancer from spreading, especially prostate cancer. And so we have, and in the United States, men just don't eat iodine, and as a result, the cancers are spreading.
And, of course, we have so much higher incidence of cancer today than we had, 30 years ago?
That's right. In fact, if you look at the rates of breast cancer, let's say 1959, when the birth control was first introduced, the rate of breast cancer was 1 out of every 17 women. Just this year alone, 1 out of every 8 women is coming down with breast cancer, and within another 3 or 4 years, it'll be 1 out of every 7. What's interesting is we have been spending so many billions of dollars on breast cancer research, and yet what's happening is we're looking at everything that we're doing to ourselves And what's interesting is we haven't been paying attention to what we're not doing, which is we're not taking in this iodine, which helps to protect us from breast cancer. In Japan, very little women develop problems with breast cancer, and whereas over here, the rates are very high. So that there's exciting research being done in some of the medical centers in the United States now, where they are looking into the concept about whether iodine helps to can be useful as a treatment for treatment of breast cancer.
Well, for treatment, or would this be something you just take if you had a cancer, just going along with the rest of the treatment?
That's right. And there was a study done up in Boston showing that if you give 5 milligrams of iodine a day, just 5 milligrams of this, the combination of iodine plus iodide is called Lugol solution, named after a French physician by the name of Dr. Lugol. But they found that if you give 5 milligrams of Lugol solution on a daily basis, that the rate of breast cancer dropped by 50% in a population of women that they were observing in the Boston area. We've been there was a doctor by the name of Dr. St. Georgie, who is the doctor who discovered vitamin C and actually taught Dr. Linus Pauling about vitamin C. And Dr. St. Georgie, before he was a vitamin C expert, was actually an iodine researcher. And he came to the United States back in the 1950s, and he recommended that the average human on this earth, that every human would benefit by taking iodine about 62 milligrams a day.
So basically, what we're saying is that the average person is getting far less iodine than they really need. Now, there are some pills out there that are called Iodorol. And what are they, about 12.5 milligrams?
Right. There is a product out there called Iodorol. We find that if you take Lugol solution, that about 20% of patients will have problems with an upset stomach. But people who take Iodorol have less than one-half of 1% of the population have a problem with an upset stomach when they take iodine.
Well, now, what about the sensitivity to iodine? For instance, we get information all the time from people who are sensitive to fluoride, and they put it in the drinking water, and they have problems with that. How frequently do we see people with sensitivity to iodine?
It's interesting. If you look at iodine, there's two types of it out there. There's iodine in the form of organically bound iodine. This would be iodine that's bound to a protein or some other chemical. You know it as something called IBP dye, or iodine like you find in shellfish and so on. A large percentage of people who have a, quote, allergy to that type of iodine have no problem with being able to take Lugol solution or Iodorol, because this is elemental iodine. So we tell patients, look, if you can take and eat iodized salt, then you can take these Iodorol tablets or Lugol solution, because this is elemental iodine. It's not bound to any other chemical. Having said that, what we find is that across the board for all the population, that less than one half of 1% actually have a real true iodine sensitivity. I mean, I've met a few patients who, if you give them just a pinch of iodized salt, they break out hives and have all sorts of medical problems. And these people are extremely sensitive to iodine, and those are the ones that we have to work with the most. But luckily, there are very few in the population who have this. So iodine sensitivity is a very rare situation in our society.
Well, I'm curious. There seems to be some sort of a relationship between, you mentioned it, alluded to it earlier, but the fact that many times the hormones will not work unless they have iodine in the diet. In other words, they don't work normally, and specifically sometimes you need to have selenium and iodine together, and then the hormones can affect our cells and really work very, very normally.
That's right. So we find that the thyroid gland produces a hormone called thyroxin, which is thyroid T4. And it's a thyroid hormone that has four iodines attached to it. Now, once the thyroid T4 gets into a cell, you have to strip one of the iodines off of the thyroid hormone to produce a chemical known as thyroid T3, and that's the biologically active thyroid hormone in the body. The ability to strip that iodine that off the thyroid T4 to make it a T3 is selenium-dependent. And so a lot of times we find people who have problems with decreased ability to respond to thyroid hormone because they can't convert the thyroid T4 into the thyroid T3, which is the biologically active material. Now, the thing is that the iodine that's being stripped off can go off and join up with, let's say, different receptors. It can join up with the receptors to the thyroid hormone and therefore increase the sensitivity of the body to the thyroid hormone. It's not unusual for me to see a patient who comes in and says, "Doctor, I've been taking thyroid hormone for the last 20 years. I said, "Well, that's wonderful. Why are you here?" And they sit there and say, "Well, I think something's wrong because I'm constipated. My skin's dry. I'm constantly cold. My things just aren't working like they're supposed to." And when we check their thyroid T4, their T3, and their TSH, we find that the levels are normal. And as a result, in American medicine, the only thing that a doctor knows how to do is just to increase the amount of thyroid hormone that a person has. Now, back in 1976, in the Journal for the American Medical Association, the JAMA, they showed that women who take thyroid hormone double the risk of development of breast cancer. If the average risk in the population back then was 6%, by taking thyroid hormone, a woman's risk of development of breast cancer is 12%, and if she's been on thyroid hormone for greater than 15 years, her risk of breast cancer is something like 19.6%. So, and it turns out that supplemental thyroid hormone inhibits the ability of the body to absorb iodine. And because there's no iodine in the cells, then the rate of cancer starts going up. So thyroid hormone is not as benign as it looks. It's a wonderful hormone. I think it does marvelous things. But what we're finding is that it's also got a catch-22 to it, in the sense that it's increasing the potential risk of women developing breast cancer. And in fact, the day a doctor puts his patient on thyroid hormone, he's just doubled her risk of development of breast cancer.
And yet, of course, sometimes why he has to, because she's so hypothyroid, but of course, simply giving iodine in some instances actually decrease the necessity for the thyroid hormone.
That's correct. And so one of the things that we've done is we had to develop a test looking at iodine sufficiency, you know, to find out if the body is sufficient with enough iodine in order to be able to get enough iodine into the system. And a lot of times a person, all they need to do is, rather than taking more and more thyroid hormone, all they have to do is start taking iodine to get rid of this iodine insufficiency, and as that happens, their need for thyroid hormone starts going down.
And so there are other alternatives, and I think this is really such a very, very important subject, and certainly as we've talked to our other people who have looked into this, they all agree with everything Dr. Fletcher is saying, and they feel this is such an important issue, and most people, most physicians, are totally unaware of the importance of iodine and the fact that most people are really iodine deficient. You've actually developed this test to find out whether or not, you know, whether what is sort of a thyroid loading test, where you actually have people actually take the
That's
iodine,
right.
And then of course you check the urinary output. How does that work?
Yeah, actually, this was one of the more interesting aspects of the research work we've done, and that is that the human thyroid gland holds only 3% of all the iodine in the human body. the body can hold up to 1,500 milligrams of iodine. However, the thyroid can hold up to only a maximum of maybe 50 milligrams. And it's interesting that 70% of all the iodine sits inside your muscles and sits inside the fat tissues of the body. Iodine is what keeps fatty tissues and lipids and oils from getting oxidized when they get into the body. Iodine helps to protect these tissues. That's one of its important functions besides the making of thyroid hormone. So in American medicine, what's happened is that we have learned to specialize in the minors, and we forgot that there are majors out there, and that in the sense that we specialize, and in fact we have a whole breed of doctors who do nothing but take care of thyroid hormone problems, and endocrinologists who do that, and these people are only dealing with maybe a gland that contains only 3% of all the iodine in the body, when the rest of the body is what's actually utilizing the iodine for a lot of other purposes other than just making thyroid hormone.
And of course, it's in the skin, it's in the breast, it's in the prostate, it's in the ovaries. It's in every tissue in our body.
You got it. That's exactly it. Now, we have published a whole group of articles on this subject. And
well, where can people get that information?
I'm sorry?
Where can people get the information?
Right. You can go to my website. It's called HelpMyThyroid.com, and at HelpMyThyroid.com we have a tab on there that says iodine research, and if you'll tab down to the bottom of that tab, you'll see different articles that have been published, and you can download these articles for free. But it's the type of thing that we basically looked at this and said, you know, this is such important work that needs to be out because there are so many people that are suffering, and we're producing in our children. We're producing children with tremendous amounts of ADD. In fact, in the United States alone, from the year 2000 through about 2005, the rate of ADD in the population went up by 500%. So that it just kind of gives us a tremendous gratification to see people responding, and also people who are willing to investigate and look into this and see that there is something else that can be done to help patients, especially with low thyroid symptoms, who may have normal thyroid hormone levels and yet they've got all the symptoms of low thyroid disease. And rather than just cranking up the thyroid hormone and having to take more thyroid, they can start taking iodine, and that should help to turn this whole thing around.
Well, has this had any effect on children with ADD or ADHD?
The taking of iodine does not take away ADD, so it's not one thing that's been found to be helpful in that regard. It only helps to prevent the development of the illness in early life. But once you have the illness, there's other things that have to be done, such as the use of silica, such as the use of gold, and so on. And in fact, that's one of the interesting things that we have found is that you can take micronized gold tablets, and you can increase a person's IQ by almost 25 points just by taking gold. And, in fact, the first person to introduce the use of gold was Moses. If you'll go back into the book of Exodus and the scriptures, you'll find that when God was talking to Moses at the top of Mount Sinai, that the people were out there worshiping a golden idol. And Moses came down there when they were having their party, and he took the golden idol and he destroyed it. He ground it up, turned it into a powder, put it in the water, and made the whole nation of Israel drink it. Now, according to the rabbis, they sit there and say, look, you know, what happened is that God's displeasure was turned into a blessing because it helped these people. But as those of us who have tried gold have found out, it does increase a person's IQ, and it'll increase it in all of us about 25 points.
Well, that's a pretty good increase. All right, fine. Well, our guest has been Dr. George Fletch. Just one more time, the website where they can get the information?
They can get it at helpmythyroid.com.
That's HelpMyThyroid.com. And we're going to be back in just a moment to wrap up the program here this afternoon. I think this is fascinating information. I hope you do as well. Well, Dr. Fletcher, we have 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Well, I just implore everybody to get a hold of these articles, read them. This makes absolute sense makes a lot of sense about the illnesses that we're seeing in the American population and throughout the world, and the fact that the lack of iodine is producing a tremendous number of maladies that we just were not connecting together. And once you start studying this, you can all of a sudden start seeing that there are relationships between thyroid disease and breast cancer and breast illnesses, that there's problems with cyst nodules and scar tissue and the thyroid, the breast, the ovaries, and so on. And all of this is being related to the absence of iodine in the American diet. It's a very simple remedy. It's a remedy that can be remedied without the use of prescription products, that you can take iodine without a prescription. It is something that's readily available. I think Dr. Stan here, can get the iodine for you. It is something that it is remarkable about how well people are feeling, and we hear every day testimonials from people from throughout the whole nation about how much better they feel in the presence of taking iodine.
Well, we've started taking, my wife and I, and we do carry it through Radio Liberty. We think it's a great product, and we even have some articles that we provide for people. These are written by people in academia who've been looking into this, and are firmly convinced that this is something that we really have missed for some time. And I don't think anybody really realized that they were taking it out of our diet. They were taking it out of our bread and out of our milk, and then they were taking it out of half of the salt. About only 52% of the salt contains iodine now?
Right, about 50% of the salt contains iodine, and we need to encourage our American women to start being careful about what salt they get and to make sure it's iodized salt. The other thing, too, is that this thing called sea salt does not contain that much iodine in there. You have to buy iodized sea salt. And also, we need to try to teach our population how to eat more sea vegetables, such as vegetable, it's called sushi, where they used seaweed with rice and other foods. But we need to teach Americans how to eat more sea, we taught the population how to become more vegetarian, but what we haven't done is to try to teach the population how to become more marine vegetarian.
Amen to that. Well, Dr. Fletcher, thank you so very much for being with us again. We really enjoy having you. Look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and we really believe this is very important. Actually, we put together a 4-tape set, my interviews with Dr. Fletcher, my interviews with Dr. Blaylock on this subject, and if you're interested in getting our 4-tape set on iodine, why, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927, and we'll actually send you an article by Dr. Donald Miller, who is a professor of cardiac surgery up at the University of Washington. He's done a lot of work on this as well. You can also get the iodorol if you're interested. Simply one tablet a day gives you about 12.5 milligrams, of a combination of the Lugol solution and, of course, the iodized salt. So that is certainly about what the Japanese are eating. That's iodorol. So if you'd like to get the 4-tape set, or you'd simply like to get the article, or you'd like to get the 4-tape, product, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, there's so many things that we're taking that are hazardous to our health. I mean, millions of Americans are taking statin drugs. And if you are taking this prophylactic, you've never had a heart attack, you've never had a stroke, there is absolutely no evidence that it helps. Absolutely none. If you have had a heart attack or stroke, maybe 1 in 50, 1 in 75 will benefit from taking it, and all the rest are simply taking it, but it has nothing to do with lowering the cholesterol. Cholesterol, when you really need to get some of the material we have, going into the background of this, and now doctors across America, some of them, are beginning to speak out against what I think is one of the greatest frauds and misuse of medicine, and that is the statin craze. Somehow or other, if we can change your cholesterol figures, why, we're going to keep you from dying. And there's simply no evidence that that's true. If you have never had a heart attack or never had a stroke, and if you have had a heart attack or stroke, we're talking about, say, 49 people taking the medication, not going to do any good, and one will help. Is it really worth that? You've got to learn how to read the package inserts and see what they really say. So if you'd like the information, we have a great 4-THC on statin drugs. We've got a booklet on statin drugs. In fact, we did a wonderful interview with Dr. Bill Sardi last night, giving you the latest information on this. If you'd like to get a copy of that, the latest interview with Bill Sardi on statin drugs, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. For an overview of what you need to do with your health, let me suggest Dr. Russell Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. If you'd like to know what the drug companies are doing to you, you need to get the book written by the former editor of the New England Journal, Dr. Marshall Angel, on the staff at Harvard. And, of course, she wrote a book, The Truth About the Drug Companies, who are in bed with the FDA, who are giving you many times medications that are frankly harmful to your health, that know what need to be done, and of course to suppress the information so they can come up with some sort of molecule that they can market to you. But really the basic things about health are really so very, very simple. You need vitamin C, and you need vitamin D, and you need selenium and magnesium, and you need the fish oils, and you need the things that will keep you healthy, including you need exercise, and you need to be on the right side of diet. At least they're beginning to talk a little bit about that today. For years, they've been giving you all the wrong information on trans fats. Oh, you don't want to eat butter. Why, you have all these nice vegetable oils. And, of course, they've known for many, many years how harmful they were. And now, suddenly, why, we're going to outlaw the very things we've been telling you to eat all along. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Let me suggest Dr. Russell Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. You are responsible for your health. We'll do the best we can to keep you on the cutting edge of what's going on. Please pray for America and pray for Radio Liberty. And again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.